Do you experience intimacy in your marriage, spiritual intimacy? Would you say that your marriage is fulfilling to you? Do you rejoice in it as a sacred gift of God? Do you defend and cherish it? Or are you sour on your marriage? Do you find that there is great distance between you and your wife or your husband? Are you inwardly bitter? And have you concluded that you're just going to try to tough it out or look for the first excuse or possibility to escape from the torture that you're in? Do you experience loving intimacy in your marriage bond? It is the will of God for all of His children in Christ Jesus that marriage not only be a bond, but that it be a bond, an intimate bond of love and satisfaction and joy in Jesus Christ. Marriage is a good gift of God. It's a good gift of God for His children in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ obtained the blessings of salvation, He has blessed also marriage and wills that within marriage His children shall enjoy blessing, the intimacy of growing in marriage in the love of God. The starting point for any discussion of marriage, as well as the starting point for the attaining of any intimacy in marriage, is to remember this biblical truth about marriage. Marriage is to be the picture of Christ and His bride, the church. The Bible says this explicitly in Ephesians 5, verse 32, after the apostle has given instruction to husbands and to wives concerning their calling and place in marriage, he says to them, "But I really have not been talking to you about marriage. I've been talking to you about a great mystery, the mystery of Christ and the church." In that passage, well known, the Scriptures are saying to us that marriage exists in God's purpose to be a picture of an intimate bond between Christ and His church. That's the starting point. If we are ever to know joy, if we are ever to know the reason for marriage, if we are ever to say, "My marriage, by God's grace, is a good marriage," then as children of God, we have to remember that our marriage is intended of God to be a picture of Christ in the church. Husbands, the great object of your study in marriage is Christ. Wives, the great object of your study in marriage is the church. As Christ is to His bride, and as the bride, the church, is to Him, so let husbands be to their wives, and wives to their husbands. The purpose and the calling that we have in our married life as children of God is to be a picture of the union of Christ and the church, so that others in the church might learn not simply what it means to be married, but might learn from us what it means that Christ has loved the church and given Himself for it, and that others may learn from us what it means that the church willingly is in submission to her Lord Jesus Christ. We have to go back to the basics. Marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. That's the foundation. The foundation for every aspect of marriage, including its intimacy, including the fact that marriage then is a lifelong bond between two, a man and a woman, until death. Marriage is a lifelong bond. Jesus said that Himself in Matthew chapter 19. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Marriage is lifelong. Why? To reflect this truth, that the love of God in Jesus Christ for His church changes not, and that there is a pillar, there is a foundation upon which all stands, the unchangeable, an unbreakable love of God for His own in Jesus Christ. If there is to be intimacy in your marriage, there must first be the conscious bowing before this truth. My marriage must be a picture on earth of what it means that Christ has taken to Himself the church as His precious bride. Then we should also remember that intimacy in marriage can only be obtained in the way of repentance. It can only be obtained in the way of two sinners confessing their sins before God. We could put this principle negatively. Impenitent sinners cannot be intimate. Now, there might be many that would dispute that, but the Word of God is very plain. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 tells us that according to the flesh, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. There is God's indictment concerning the nature of the relationships apart from Jesus Christ, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. There is no harmony in the way of sin. There cannot be. Sin is confusion. Sin is disharmony. Impenitent sinners cannot be intimate. They never can be, no matter what the appearance may be. Apart from repentance in Jesus Christ, there can be no intimacy. You say that you're struggling with bitterness in your marriage. You say that you're drawing apart. You say that you are not intimate with your wife or with your husband. You can't share the desires of your heart and soul with them. Then you need to look into your own heart. Are you today a repentant child of God? Do you repent? Do you forgive your husband? Do you forgive your wife? Do you repent of your pride? Only in the way of repentance before God can there be the possibility of intimacy. It is the purpose of God in our marriage that we be intimate, that we be close, that we be loving, that we live together in the expression of that as husband and wife in sexual intimacy as well. The Scriptures teach to us that the union between Christ and His church is indeed a close and loving and intimate union. Christ draws His church to His heart. He reveals His secrets to His church, and He shows His delight in the church. The church never needs to ask whether Jesus delights in her, and Jesus pledges His faithfulness to the church. The Scriptures are abundant in this. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, where God says, "With loving kindness I have drawn thee to me, and that I have loved thee with an everlasting love." In John 15, verse 15, Jesus says, "I do not call you servants, but I call you friends. For all that the Father hath revealed to me, I reveal to you." Christ reveals His secrets. His heart is close to our heart, and He draws our hearts close to Him. The very purpose of Christ, of uniting Himself to the church, is that that church might share in the gracious intimacy of God's life. Jesus says to us in John 17, verse 26, that the Father had sent Him into the world in order that He might bring us to the Father, that they might be in Him and He in the Father, and thus they might be made one in Him. Through Jesus Christ, we are brought near to God. And therefore, Christian marriage is intended to be intimate. What is the nature of that intimacy? Well, the nature of that intimacy is, first of all, that our marriages are to be a tender bond one with each other. The union of Christ to His church is a tender bond. We can find that in the Scriptures throughout. He says that He is our shepherd and that He will give to us rest. He reveals to us, for instance, in Matthew chapter 12, that He is a compassionate and a tender Savior, that He will not quench the burning flax, that He will not destroy the bruised reed, that He is the God and the Savior whose compassion knows no end. Christ is tender. Christ is intimate with us. He sees us in all of our weakness, but He does not despise us. He sees us in the love, the eternal love of the Father. He sees us in all of our wretchedness, and yet He deals with us in tender pity. He always sees our needs, and he always ministers perfectly to that need. So also, if we are to have intimacy, the spirit of tenderness must be in our hearts one towards each other. We must keep short account of one another's offenses. Each day, a married partner must go to God. We must go to God together, confessing our faults one to each other, forgiving, dealing with the hurts and dealing with the offenses that occurred in that day, and confessing those offenses one to each other and before God, and keeping a short account. Only in that way, in the way of gentleness, in the way of a tender heart, in the way of a soft heart one to each other, a heart that is in tune with what they have received from Christ, only in that way can there be intimacy in marriage. What will make our hearts most tender? This is what makes our heart most tender: when we know what we have received from God, the fullness of His forgiveness, that He has dealt with us in infinite mercy, we who are such terrible sinners. And therefore, as God has dealt with me, so am I to deal with my spouse. Then we will be soft-hearted one to each other, not resentful, not closed, not readily taking offense, not harboring, not working ourselves up into bitterness, but dealing with one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath dealt with us. We will approach one another with understanding, with care. But there is another element of Christ's intimacy with the church. It is not only a tender intimacy, but it is also a selflessness that characterizes the intimacy of Christ with the church. Christ toward the church is selfless. He, we read in Ephesians 5:25, gave himself for us. In a profound passage, Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, we read there that Christ has emptied himself, that although he is equal to the Father, that although he would take to himself nothing that was not his, that is, he would not be taking a title, an honor to himself that's not his, if he said that he was equal to God, that belongs to him. He does. He is equal to God. But though he is so exalted in majesty as the very Son of God, God of God, yet he did not consider his own rights, but he humbled himself, and he took upon himself our flesh, and he humbled himself even unto the death of the cross, as the apostle, in order that we might live. Christ was selfless. He sought not his own things, but he sought the things of the salvation of his bride, the church. So also in marriage, will we be intimate with each other? Then we must deny ourselves. The door, before the door of marriage, one is called to resign themselves. Leave yourself outside the marriage and live one for each other. It is very true that most of our problems in marriage come when we look at, or we look for, what we are going to get from our spouse. And very often we have our own expectations about who she is and what she's going to give to me, and who he is and what he's going to give to me. And we get married and we discover that our expectations were not founded upon reality, that they're not that kind of a person. We had made them out to be something that we wanted them to be for ourselves. And in reality, they're going to be giving us their love in another way. Very often we look for the other one to give us something. But then there cannot be intimacy. The intimacy of marriage is when we deny ourselves and when we live wholly for the other. This is the pattern that we have received from Jesus Christ. We read that repeatedly throughout the Scriptures, that he gave himself for us. And so we must approach marriage not with the question, what does she owe me? How shall she satisfy me? But no. We must ask this question: what do I owe her? And how shall I please her? Another element of the intimacy of Christ in the church, the third element, would be purity. Christ's intimacy with the church is founded upon infinite tenderness, complete selflessness, and perfect purity. Christ is pure. Christ's desires are pure. Christ's desires are that we might be holy, that we might be without stain or blemish before His Heavenly Father, Ephesians chapter 5, that we might stand out clearly in the sun to the glory of God. His purpose is that we might be pure, that we might delight in the very purity and holiness of God. So also now, if we are to have intimacy in marriage, we must preserve our marriage in purity. This is what the apostle warns against in Hebrews 13, verse 4, namely of impurity and of its deadly results to intimacy in marriage. There is no intimacy in sexual perversity. There is no intimacy in fornication. There is intimacy only when the marital bed is kept sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. There God says that He will judge, Hebrews 13, verse 4, He will judge whoremongers, those who defile the marriage bed. If we are to have intimacy, we must be committed to purity, a purity in Jesus Christ, not that which is base, not that which is evil, but that which is good and right. Not necessarily that which is open, for the intimacy of a marriage is exclusive, it's private. According to the Scriptures, the sexual union within the marriage is, between two believers, passionate, but not twisted. It is intense, but it is not perverted. It must be kept pure. Young men, right now, those who are not married, listen to me. How you live sexually right now, in your mind, and what you look at, and fighting against pornography has everything to do with the future intimacy of your marriage. Keep your minds pure in Christ Jesus, in those things that are lovely unto Him. Learn how to love from the author and from the source, the Lord Jesus Christ, not from the world. The third thing that we can say about spiritual intimacy is that it is spiritual, so that the intimacy of Christ in the church is tender, selfless, pure, and spiritual. The intimacy, of course, that we enjoy with Jesus Christ is on a spiritual level. That is, it is through faith in Him. Intimacy in marriage, then, will be that we have the joint experience of the cross of Jesus Christ as our salvation. Intimacy in marriage will be that we jointly walk together in Christ Jesus as the foundation of our marriage. We must bow together before the cross. Intimacy is one faith in Jesus Christ. If we are truly to be intimate, then it must be the intimacy of our souls. We must seek out not simply physical compatibility, but we must seek out primarily that spiritual compatibility, that spiritual friendship with another person. We must maintain our own walk with the Lord. The closer husband grows to Christ and to God, the closer wife grows to God and to Christ, so also the closer they will draw to each other. The object of your marriage is not, first of all, your wife, to get as close as you can to her. The object of your marriage is not, first of all, your husband, to see how close you can get to him. Yes, you want to get close, but the way there is not by making the other the object. Make God the object. He's the only object. In God is fullness of joy. When you seek Him with all your heart, all your soul, to be pleasing to Him, to have those attitudes, those thoughts, those loves that are founded in Him, When you do that personally as a husband by His grace, and when you do that personally as a wife by His grace, then God Himself knits you together and makes you close one to each other. Think of a triangle. Think now of a triangle standing as a pyramid, the top being God, the two bottom corners being the husband and wife. Those two bottom corners come closer to each other as they proceed up toward the peak. You have one goal: draw close to God. And as we draw close to God, living out of God in our marriage, very practically, we will also draw closer to each other. We will enjoy intimacy that we had not thought possible before. Intimacy reflected in the exclusive bond of the sexual union, but an intimacy reflected in all of our life. We will find pleasure one in each other. We will delight in one another's company. We will become one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you experience intimacy in your marriage? Is there bitterness in your heart? You may say that your way is beyond any words to solve. You'll say, perhaps, it's no use. It's not going to work. You don't know him. You don't know her. I'm asking this question. Do you, wife, and do you, husband, know him? God? In Jesus Christ our Lord? Do you by faith partake of this blessing, that through faith you are united to Him through the blood of His Son in a tender, pure, selfless bond? Then no matter what your situation today may be in marriage, whether you would call it a good marriage or a bad marriage, you have hope. You must today act toward your spouse the way God graciously has acted toward you. You are to be tender, even as God was tender to you. You are to be selfless, even as Christ emptied himself for you. You are to be pure, even as he is pure of heart. You are to seek to be spiritually one in faith in God with your spouse. Then you will experience intimacy. You will experience joy in one another. And together, you will grow in the marvelous love of God. But since we cannot attain these things of ourselves, let's now go together in prayer to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray that thou wouldst seal it unto our hearts in this day. Cause, O Lord, that the Scriptures may ever be our guide and our light, that we may not turn to our own way, that we may follow thy way. Bless us in our marriage. Remember those marriages especially that are troubled, that are struggling. Bring us, O Lord, in repentance before the cross. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.